Flames and hunger are devouring Palestinian children. The words of Riyad Mansour, the Palestinian ambassador to the United Nations, in an emotional address to the Security Council yesterday. He said 1,300 Palestinian children have been killed and about 4,000 injured since Israel resumed military operations in Gaza in March. As we've heard, a UN warehouse was broken into yesterday by hordes of hungry people as aid trickles into the strip and workers on the ground talk of a people on the brink of famine. Three quarters of Gaza's hospitals are no longer operational, putting immense pressure on medics and medical infrastructure, that which remains. Majid Jabbar is a physician working at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. When we spoke earlier, he began by describing his working life over the past 12 hours.
All the injuries, all the airstrikes you hear about in the south of Gaza, all the bombardments, the artillery shells, it's just every injured patient almost ends up at Nasser Hospital. And the load is very heavy, and for 20 doctors at the ER to handle hundreds of patients a day, it's just a very, very stressful work. We mostly deal with patients that get injured, shrapnels, or they even lose limbs, or even eventually dead, bleeding to death while on their way to the hospital from airstrikes, while they're getting displaced, while they're trying to get aid. Just recently, you know, days ago, you know, the Israeli-American initiative where the people were just running to get all the aid because people are really hungry. And, you know, the quadcopters, the drones targeted some of them, and some of them died and some of them were severely injured. And it's really difficult to deal with that because we have also limited resources. We barely have medical staff, and we're dealing with patients that need surgeries to the chest that are filled with shrapnels, to their bones that are broken. And when the lack of orthopedic tools has reached 99%, like what can you do, really? Similar thing with cardiovascular surgeries. Same with just many other specialties. The problem is we can stabilize them for a few hours, but they need more definitive treatment, you know, just stabilize them after a surgery, treat the actual cause, but we don't have that yet. So we're eventually just watching people succumb to their end, sadly. And it's just me standing up. We don't sit down, we don't eat, there's no food. And we're trying to just push ourselves and our bodies beyond our limits to just do our own thing. And it's just very unbearable.
You're describing unimaginable scenes for us. When did you last have an uninterrupted night's sleep?
It's really difficult to have an uninterrupted sleep. The airstrikes, the drones, the quadcopters, just shooting, doing the annoying noises, mimicking, woman screaming, baby screaming. And even if not, you know, all the stress, all the bad memories, the nightmares, even if I'm sleeping away from my family, I just sometimes have all these bad scenarios that they may get bombarded at any second. I may lose them, I may lose loved ones. And this, well, happened before, you know, and it's very traumatic and difficult. So, yeah, an uninterrupted sleep is just, I hope eventually I get some good sleep, but we're just functioning over adrenaline here in Gaza, and it's taking a toll on our bodies and minds.
And how are your family? Are they all safe and well?
Well, I mean, it's just a bit difficult to call someone safe in Gaza. There's nobody safe, right? But they're alive, and I'm thankful for that.
You've been hit in the hospital in Nasser, I think, three times in the last couple of months. And before that, you were in the European hospital. You had to evacuate from there.
Yeah. So to paint you a picture, the day before the bombing, there was the handover, the release of the American-Israeli soldier, Edan Alexander. And there was a brief period of calm during that. And when the release was done, they went back to bombarding all of Khan Yunis back again. a lot of airstrikes, drones, people getting injured and killed, flooding to the hospital. It was a really difficult night at the ER. And in the morning, it was the same. And around the evening, around like 6 p.m., we were just trying to hand over our shifts because we were exhausted. And as we were packing, the bombardment happened again at the ERs of the hospital, the ER, the entrance, next to the neurosurgery department, the bus stop, and the streets leading to the entrance of the hospital were just completely bombarded. You know, glasses shattering, just doors flying and tiles everywhere, and the dust and the debris and the gunpowder. It was all just stifling. And you get outside and you see people hanging off trees, you see limbs, you see people buried 6 feet under, you see people trying to just dig around the craters, the impacts of the massive bombs that were dropped, and the drones were shooting, and the Red Cross told us to not get out of the hospital and to not move around. And that was really difficult because there were people that are injured and we were trying to figure out what to do, but it just was very unbearable.
We've seen chaotic scenes in the last couple of days as people desperately scramble to get food. We've seen them trying to get to this Gaza Humanitarian Foundation aid point that was first opened in Rafah. And then we had that scenes yesterday at a UN distribution centre in Khan Yunis. What is the reaction among people around you to this new way of distributing aid to people?
It is a definitely, and this is an opinion agreed upon. It is a facade. It's not something that's gonna work, first of all, because it's very unpractical. If you think about it, I mean, you're just providing for places for people to receive aid for 2 million civilians. I mean, how do you expect this to work, actually? You are trying to undermine the already properly functional UNRWA and other WHO organizations that have already established very efficient methods to distribute food and aid and medications to pay to all the civilians for decades. And they learned from many mistakes. And now you're trying to just undermine it and do it yourself. And people are not trusting it. First of all, the 3 points are put inside of Rafah, which is a destroyed city, is wiped off the face of the earth, is very far away from all the camps and the places where people are displaced to, and you put them into some kind of concentration camp kind of thing, where they're all just stuck in a small place and they need to wait for hours and hours and hours standing, and not anyone can go. Only the father for the family needs to go. And you have, and you know, my father is elderly. I'm not gonna send my father to go just take some aid, which is 20 kilo of just barely nutritious food. It just doesn't make sense, and it's not gonna work. And it didn't work the first day, it won't work the second and the third. And it's just a way for Israel to just alleviate their own international pressure from all the countries that are just furious with the way that the Palestinians have been treated the last year and a half. And it's just not gonna work, it's not enough. And we're hearing this from the European Union already.
And that was Dr. Maged Jaber, a physician working at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis in Gaza. He was speaking to me a little earlier. 27 minutes past 8.